Welcome to the radio ministry of Clearview Church in Henderson, where our goal is to make Christ visible. Clearview is a place of genuine worship with ministries for all age groups and all peoples. For more information, visit us at 3485 Oxford Road in Henderson, or visit us online at clearviewbc.org. Now join us for this week's message by Pastor Abidan Shaw.
With the Christmas season upon us, I'm preaching a short series of messages now until the 25th, titled, Believing is Seeing. Now, I know it sounds kind of awkward to the ears because we always go by seeing is believing, but believing is seeing. During Christmas season, we are told to believe in the magic of Christmas, but there's something more to that, and once we understand this passage today, you're going to think, realize it's actually backwards. It's believing is seeing. If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 5 and let's all stand together. Listen to verse 39. Jesus said, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me," says Jesus. "But you're not willing to come to me that you may have life." Verse 45. "Do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust." Verse 46. "For if you believed Moses, you would believe me." And listen carefully to this line. "For he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words?" Deep words. Very tempting to ignore and go on to simple passages. But there is a reason why the Holy Spirit has chosen to leave these words in the Word of God. Seeing is believing. That's what everybody says. That's what we say. Before I can believe something, I have to see it. Show me the proof. Show me the evidence, and then I will believe. Then I will take the action. Now, there is a point to that. You have to see something in order to take some actions. For example, if you're crossing the road, you got to make sure you look both ways and make sure you don't see anything coming, and then you cross. You can't say, "Well, I believe if I just believe in my heart that no one will hit me, I can go through and I'll see it all works out." No, that's not what will happen. Or financial investments. You can't say, "I'm just going to believe and just put my money over here." You'll go bankrupt. Or a medical procedure. "I feel something wrong. Just cut me open and get it out. And later on, I'll see what it happens." You know, many times in life, that would be a big disaster. But when it comes to Jesus Christ, when it comes to faith, believing comes before seeing. You have to receive him by faith first, that he is who he said he is, and then you will begin to see how he is exactly everything he said he is. In the passage we're going to look at today, that's the main theme. Jesus rebuked the Jewish religious leaders because they were refusing to believe in him. They said, "Show us more proof. Show us more evidence. We don't believe." And Jesus chastised them. Why? Because they were asking for more and more, but they were refusing to place their faith in him. In fact, they were more interested in getting honor from each other than submitting to Jesus Christ. They even took pride in the fact that they studied the Holy Scriptures. "We study the Bible. We study the Old Testament. We study the Torah. And we are so diligent." They took pride in that. And Jesus declared to them, as we just read, that if you really believe in me, you will realize that Moses wrote about me. But since you don't believe in me, you can't see me in the writings of Moses. Let me ask you this morning, are you having trouble seeing Jesus? And I'm asking that question to those who are lost as well as saved. The principle is the same. Belief comes before sight. First, you have to say, I don't understand everything. But just reading what he has said about himself or hearing what people are saying about him through the Word of God, I place my faith in him. What you'll see is, all of a sudden the light comes on and you begin to see Christ everywhere. You begin to see him as you've never seen him before. You see him as the Son of God who came in this world, perfect, pure, gave his life on the cross for you, and it all begins to make sense. And when you read the Bible, it comes alive. It's not just a book of do's and don'ts. It's not just the history of the Hebrews and the Israelites. It's not just some group of people building their church. You begin to see that Christ is the focus, is the theme of this book. If you're lost this morning, and you say, I don't get all this Christian stuff. The order is first belief and then sight. But I'm also asking the same question to those who are saved. Are you having trouble seeing Christ? When you read the Bible, let's say the book of Moses or the first five books, all you can see are the Ten Commandments. All you can see is Moses parting the Red Sea. All you can see is miracles and the wonders of God. You're having trouble seeing Jesus. You have the same infection as those who are lost. You have stopped believing in Jesus. Doesn't mean you're lost. Doesn't mean you need to get saved again. You just need to return back to Jesus Christ. Are you saved? Do you know Christ as your Savior? You are saved, but are you seeing Christ in your life? You know, we have all people talking about put Christ back in Christmas, and I think sometimes it just becomes a slogan. But is Christ really in your Christmas this year? Is Christ really the center of your life? So we're going to look at all that this morning. Let's walk through this passage and understand how believing comes before seeing. Let's begin. Number one, the vain search. Listen to what Jesus says in verse 39. You search the scriptures. He is talking to the Jewish religious leaders. He says, you study the Bible, you study the books of Moses, for in them you think you have eternal life. You know, in Judaism, the Jewish religion during the time of Jesus, the scriptures, especially the Torah, the first five books of Moses, were considered to be the source of life. In fact, one of their greatest rabbis by the name of Hillel, listen to what he said. The more study of the law, the more life. And he also said, if a man has gained a good name, he has gained somewhat for himself. But if he has gained for himself words of the law, he has gained for himself life in the world to come. In other words, this book is all there is to it. The more you study it, the more you find life. I've been to Israel several times, and I've sat next to some very religious Jewish people. One time I sat next to an Orthodox Jewish man, and he was reading the Hebrew Bible. And he set it down for a few seconds, turned to me just to be nice, and we talked a little bit. And somehow the conversation came up about what he was reading, and I said, I can read that. He said, really? He was shocked that I could read Hebrew. He gave it to me. He said, what does it say? And I read it. He said, I can't believe it. What I didn't tell him is I can understand and explain it better than he could. The problem is he was reading it just to memorize it, just to regurgitate it, because he was thinking, and it probably still does, that in studying the Torah, he finds life. But listen to what Jesus said. And these are they which testify of me. Meaning, yes, the scriptures do tell you how to find eternal life, but they point to Jesus as the source of eternal life. By the way, this was not something that Jesus invented. That, hey, I'm here, Go back and read Moses, and you will see me everywhere. The Jewish people during the time of Jesus were reading the Old Testament that way already. For example, in John chapter 1, do you remember when Philip came to Nathanael, his friend, and said, "Listen, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote." Means the Jewish people, even during the time of Jesus, knew that this is not just about the Ten Commandments and how to sacrifice and how to burn incense and the story of how the people left Egypt and even further back all about the creation and Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel and Noah's Ark. There's more to this. Studying the Bible without Christ is no different than reading a cookbook and thinking you're full. Imagine if you're hungry this afternoon, and I'm sure you're all going to be hungry about 12 o'clock. And you go home, and you pull down Betty Crocker, and you say, "Man, look at that meatloaf. And the casserole, I tell you what, that's beautiful. I love that. And look at this. And then you get to the dessert. Man, that cheesecake, that looks so good. That pecan pie, of course, I'm going to mention pecan pie. Man, this is so good. I'm stuffed." Would you do that? No, it's just a cookbook. What you do with the cookbook is a whole different thing. You know, when you study the Bible, and if you are studying the Bible as just, "I just want to find God's will for my life. I just want to know his purpose in this world. I just want to know how this world is going to come to an end." What you will find is it is no different than reading a cookbook and thinking that it will satisfy you. It will never satisfy you. You'll walk away hungry. That's what happens in many of these so-called Bible studies. You get together and you're studying a Bible or you're watching a video, and there's some wonderful ones out there, but if it's without Jesus Christ as the center and the focus of everything, you'll walk away hungry. No wonder people do Bible studies and the next day they still leave their husbands and their wives. No wonder they're in a small group and they're studying and working together and they're still cheating and lying and doing crazy things. How is that happening? Because without Christ on every page, you will walk away hungry. Is Christ the center of your Bible study? The problem is not with the Bible study. The problem is what you're hoping to get out of that Bible study. Unless Christ is the focus, unless you ask the question, how does this bring me closer to Jesus Christ? If you walk away from this book and say, "Man, I'm so convicted about my sin," you missed the point of this book. "Man, I need to make some changes in my life." You missed the point of this book. "I need more wisdom and strength and peace in my life." You missed the point of this book because Jesus Christ is wisdom and strength and peace personified. The question is not, "God, give me more wisdom. God, give me more strength. God, give me more peace." What you'd be praying is, "God, give me more Christ." All of a sudden, you'll read this book and say, "Wow, he's everywhere." And I'm walking away from that Bible study in a heart of repentance, but in a heart of gratefulness. But more than anything, my heart is full of Jesus. So, the first thing, the vain search, they were searching the scriptures, for in them they were thinking they have eternal life. Jesus said, "But they're about me." But here's number two, the unwilling life. Listen to what Jesus says, the next verse 40, "But you are not willing to come to me." Now, the word for not willing is the word in Greek called euthelete. I'm not trying to demonstrate how much I know Greek, but literally what it means is you choose not to. These people, after studying their Old Testament, Moses, they had already made up their minds they're not going to come to Jesus. Do you know people even today do that? Lost people? Now, some lost people, they'll come to me or they'll write me a note or they will send me a message or Facebook me and they'll say, "Hey, listen, I'm struggling with this and this." Typical questions are, "If you believe Jesus is the only way, truth, and life, how about people before Jesus? How did they get saved?" if they were not Jewish people? Or how about today, people living in the jungles of Africa, how do they get saved? I'm struggling with that. If you help me understand. And I can tell if they are sincere. And I will answer for them. But then there are people, they'll try to engage me in a battle. And I used to fall for that. I've wasted a lot of hours answering people back and forth, long emails. And I did not do a lot of my work that I should have been doing. I'm here answering them. And they would come back with another question. I would answer that. And they'd come back. Finally, I asked this one person, I said, will you change your belief if I give you this answer? He honestly said no. I said, well, why am I even wasting my time with you? Well, we're learning from each other. I said, no, you're unwilling to come to Jesus. You've already made up your mind that you do not want Jesus in your life. No amount of Bible study, no amount of questioning and answering back and forth is going to change your mind. You have chosen not to come to Christ. Hey, let's talk to the saved people. Why did you come this morning to church? When you come Sunday morning or to your Sunday Bible school or to Bible study, are you coming with the willingness to say, whatever Jesus tells me to do, I will do it? You know what will happen? The same message that maybe some of you are thinking, where is he going with this? All of a sudden you go, whoa, he's going where it needs to go. It's changing my life. I am beginning to see how Christ is everything. These people were unwilling to come to Christ that they may have life. What was keeping them from coming to Jesus? Not any serious questions. They had made a decision. By the way, if you go in John chapter 1, when people came to Jesus with questions, Jesus always answered them. For example, when Philip went to Nathanael and said, we have found him of whom Moses and the prophets wrote, what did Nathanael say? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Jesus heard him. What did Jesus say to him? There is a man in whom there is no deceit. You know what Jesus was saying? Not the way he's talking to the Pharisees. He was saying, there is an honest man. There is a sincere seeker. And Philip's like, how did you know that? Nathanael said, how do you know that? And Jesus said, you know, before you were under the fig tree, I saw you. I know everything about you, buddy. And what was his response? Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. You see, Nathanael was willing. He was willing to change. Let me ask you this morning again the same question. What is your hang up? When you come to church, what is your purpose behind it? What is your hang up? Why are you unwilling to follow Christ? Are you willing to be made willing? Someone said that years ago and it really impacted me. Are you willing to be made willing? This morning you're sitting here going, well, I'm glad we checked it out, but whoa, wait a minute, he's talking to me. Are you willing to be made willing? The vain search, studying the Bible, but not with Christ as the center. The unwilling life, already you've made up your mind, I'm not changing anything. Well, you're not going to find life. Here's number three. The serious charge. Listen to what Jesus says next. By the way, you know, sometimes when you read passages like that, you wonder, it's like, you know, Jesus should have given these people a break. They didn't know he was the Son of God. They didn't know that he was the fulfillment of all the prophecies. Why was Jesus so harsh with them? Why did he talk so blunt with them? I mean, he should have given them more time and more interaction. Well, here's your answer. Listen to verse 41. Jesus said, I do not receive honor from men. Now, we already covered that in a previous message. But I want you to hear verse 42. But I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. Now stay with me. Their vain search of the Old Testament, especially the Torah, was because they were unwilling to come to Christ. Why were they unwilling to come to Christ? because the love of God was not in them. You know, when God comes into someone's life, things change. There are people at Clearview. I met some a few years ago. Some of you I met a few years ago. First time they came, some of them came just, you know, they were going through struggles in life. They were hurt through problems, relationships broke down, went through separation or divorce. Various reasons people come. And there's a brokenness about them. Some people come, there is no brokenness about them. There is anger because of things that happen in their life. They come just angry at God, but they are willing to search. And I have to look past that anger, the surface. And I will reach out to them and say, hey, send me an email. Well, let's connect. Let's have lunch. And then, sure enough, it comes out that they were struggling with something that happened to them or something someone did to them, or they're struggling with why did God allow this to happen. And you can work with that kind of anger and frustration. There's another group that comes. On the surface, they may be very nice. But between the lines, and you look in their eyes, and all you can see, they're mean as a snake. And you walk away from those people thinking, I don't know why, but I don't feel right. Anybody ever, don't raise your hand. Anybody ever felt that way? You walk away and go, I don't know where to put my finger on this one, but something ain't right. And then down the road it comes out, boy, they don't have the love of God in them. Now they may even be saved. The love of God never reached deep into their veins. Jesus says, I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. I want to make this statement. Somebody here this morning, we've been talking back and forth about this, that when you have hate and anger and bitterness and meanness in your heart, something is seriously wrong. When you are refusing to forgive people and still hold on those grudges and say, I love Jesus and I'm going to heaven and I've done, something is really wrong. Listen to verse 43. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. Meaning, I'm telling you that the Father has sent me. Read the Bible, believe in me, and you will see me, but you don't want to receive me. But anybody else comes around and says, hey, look, let's go against the Romans. You believe them. You support them. Now comes a very sobering passage, verse 44. How can you believe? Those are scary words. How can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only, and the word is lost there, only God? What's going to happen? Listen to verse 45. Do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. I mean, there's going to be a court session. And in that court session, you will be on the stand. But I'm not going to accuse you to the Father. Guess who is? There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. Means if you come to this Bible and say, man, I love this old story, David and Goliath. It's about man not giving up and going against the odds. And I love Esther and how, man, she stood up for her people. And I love the Proverbs. It's all about making wise choices and making good business deals and treating people like you want them to treat you. He says, one day that same Moses is going to accuse you. The Ten Commandments are God's gift to us. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not take my name in vain. You shall not make any image of me. On and on. Honor your father and your mother. Remember this. All these things are a gift to you. But if you think for a moment that you can simply trust and try to live according to those commandments, one day that same commandment is going to judge you and you will be found guilty. One day God's going to use your standard and your standard against you and say, by your own standard you have condemned yourself. Moses is the one accusing them. Let me ask you again this morning, what is keeping you from turning to Christ? Can you see your condemnation? Can you see that even by my own standards, I am so guilty because I don't help everybody. I am not the nicest person on the earth. And he will give the shirt off his back only to his best friends. He doesn't do it for everybody. He has hate and bitterness and prejudice in his heart and her heart. You are guilty, whether by this standard or your own standards. Now listen to the last point, the logical step. What is the logical step? Listen to verse 46. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me. For he wrote about me. In the next 3 weeks, we're going to try to understand that. We're going to go to the book of Moses. We're going to go through the first 5 books of the Bible. But let me briefly explain to you what I think it means. It's not just about prophecy that Moses prophesied about Jesus coming. It's not just about the presence of Jesus in the Old Testament, that the angel of the Lord or Jesus as the pre-incarnate one in the Old Testament. I don't think this is exactly what Jesus had in mind. I don't think it was all about types. You know, how we talk about Abel being a type of Christ or Noah being a type of Christ. I believe what Jesus meant is this. The more you read the Old Testament, the more you realize you cannot keep the standard of God's holiness. And when you are helpless before God, just the way Moses was and David was and Ruth was, and you get before God and say, God, I cannot come to you. You have to come to me. Belief comes before sight. It's like God turns on the light and says, you got it now. Because it was never meant to bring you eternal life. It was simply meant to bring you to my Son, Jesus Christ. But listen to verse 47. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? You know, these people had made their own laws. They had made their own rule books. They had stopped believing Moses. They had stopped believing what God had said. And Jesus says, well, you don't even read the Torah anymore. You got your own set of oral and written laws. You don't believe him. It is impossible for you to come to me. Folks, for every sin, if you have an excuse, you will never find Jesus. I know I lied. I know I'm wrong for lying, but I tell you what, if I hadn't lied, then this person would take advantage of me. Let me tell you why I'm gossiping. It's not really gossiping because everybody needs to know the truth. You've already made excuses for every one of your sins. You will never come to Jesus. But when you stand before the law of God and say, God, I'm condemned to die unless you help me, you see Jesus everywhere. And this Christmas season, where is Christ? If you're not running towards him, even this message is a waste. You'll walk away and say, man, he was on fire today, man. I didn't quite understand anything. You know, most just kind of went over my head. Yeah, you're not seeking to come to Christ. Either you're angry with somebody or you're trying to justify yourself or you're trying to pat yourself on the back as you're getting somebody else to pat you on the back. I mean, your mind is not on Christ. How can you believe?
Thank you so much for joining us today. Faith does come before sight. If you're waiting to see Christ, why not place your faith in him first? For more information, visit us online at clearviewbc.org. And for today's sermon notes, visit my blog site at abidonshaw.com.